Mr. Schultz, although you were chief economic advisor to President Carter, you've said some rather kind things about some of President Reagan's economic policies. So my question to you is, do you think the American people economically are better off under the Reagan administration than they would have been under 4 more years of President Carter and Charles Schultz?
Well, I obviously have to say no to that. On the other hand, I think with the Reagan program, there's some good news and there's some bad news. The good news is we needed a tax cut. The bad news is the tax cut was too big. And maybe the other part of the bad news is that the economy is not going to perform as well as the administration has promised.
From CBS News, Washington, Face the Nation on the CBS Radio Network. A spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview with Charles Schultz, chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors during President Carter's administration. Mr. Schultz will be questioned by CBS News correspondent Eric Engberg, by Harry Ellis, senior economics correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and by the moderator, CBS News correspondent George Herman. We shall resume the interview in a moment.
A performance story from Phillips Petroleum.
My name is Suzanne LaRue. When I found out I had to have an operation, one thing flashed through my mind. Will I be the same afterward? I had to have a growth removed that had wrapped itself around the nerves of my face. And if one of those nerves were accidentally cut, my face could have been paralyzed. So to make sure he could see well while he was working, my surgeon used a new scalpel that virtually eliminates bleeding by sealing off the blood vessels with heat as it cuts. A special heat-resistant plastic Phillips Petroleum developed insulates the blade so the scalpel can work right, which it did. So thanks to the skill of the surgeon and that new scalpel, I can smile again, just like before. I wish you could see.
Caring for your car and more. That's performance from Phillips Petroleum.
And now we continue with Face the Nation.
Mr. Schultz, let me pick up your good news, bad news figure of speech, and let's start with the tax cut. You say the tax cut is too big. Are you talking about this first 5% increment, or are you talking about the entire 3-year tax cut?
I'm talking about the entire 3-year tax cut. It's $150 billion worth of tax cut when it's fully in effect in 1984. In addition, the defense budget is growing massively. Depending on whom you talk to, something like $70 to $90 billion in additional budget cuts are going to have to be found in order for the administration to meet its balanced budget promise with that big a tax cut. They don't have to balance the budget precisely, but it ought to be going down. And I think that the Wall Street has made the judgment that finding those kind of cuts is not very likely. Hence, we're going to be in a position of too big a deficit and too much upward pressure on interest rates.
And let me go to that bad news side, and that is the duration of high interest rates, and in particular, not what they do so much to President Reagan's political standing, but what they do to the economy, and particularly to small businessmen who have to borrow at these rates.
Yeah, I hate to keep answering with kind of on the one hand, on the other hand, but I think you have to start with the fact that this economy of ours has proved itself much more resilient in the face of high interest rates than anybody thought. These are unprecedented interest rates. The economy is slow and sluggish, but it's not falling out of bed. So the first proposition is the high interest rates are slowing us down, but they're not doing what somebody would have said 3 or 4 years ago had you given them these numbers. I mean, interest rates running 8-10% ahead of inflation. Second proposition is that so long as the Federal Reserve continues to feed out money slowly in helping us to bring inflation down, and so long as we face the possibility of fairly significant increases in the deficit, I think you're going to see those high interest rates.
Do you believe that the Federal Reserve is doing the right thing, this era of tightening on credit?
Well, let me put it this way. I think we'd be better off in this country with somewhat easier money and a somewhat tighter budget. I think you need both. And that a situation in which the administration would cut back significantly on this massive increase in defense spending, which in my judgment is so large it's not even going to do the Pentagon any good, maybe close some tax loopholes, try to pull the deficit down, and simultaneously the Fed do some moderate easing, I think we'd have a, not a revolutionarily better economy, but a somewhat better economy. Now let me close that by saying no matter what you do, There's no way in the world you're going to pull inflation down without some form of tight money and higher interest rates than we like. I just think they could be somewhat lower, and at the same time, you could tighten up on the budget.
Do you see any relief in sight in interest rates?
Well, relief, major relief, no, I don't see any. That doesn't mean they couldn't come down a bit. My guess is they will fluctuate. Major relief, probably not.
Up a bit?
Yeah, they could fluctuate up and down. I guess if somebody pushed me very hard, I'd say you might get a little reduction in interest rates over the next year. Yeah, inflation is coming down some, but I think the main news is not that they'll come down some, but that the amount they'll come down is probably going to be small.
Let me go back to inflation just a moment. You say that there is some improvement, and you have linked interest rates to inflation. Now, the July Consumer Price Index showed a 15.2% annual increase. And is that realistic, or is inflation really still below 10%?
Well, the news last month on the Consumer Price Index wasn't as bad as it seems, just as the news in the couple of months before that wasn't quite as good as it seemed. That is, we had a couple of months in which inflation was running below kind of its long-term rate and a month in which it was running above. So I would guess inflation is edging down some. If you kind of look through these month-to-month fluctuations, maybe I'd say it's running in the neighborhood of 9%, a little less. And that's down a little bit, but it's coming down slowly.
Is that a bedrock, 9%, unless somehow you decrease wage increases throughout the economy?
You could do maybe a little better than that, but I think basically you're right. To say it another way, in the long run, what's going to determine the course of inflation, at least proximately, is what happens to wages. They're two-thirds of costs, and my guess is they will moderate some. I mean, that's one of the big questions, how much. But I think right now you'd have to say inflation is running about 9%, coming down slowly.
I have a kind of a simple mind. You said we should have a tax cut. You said the Reagan tax cut is too much.
Mm-hmm.
What are you proposing, that we have only the first year's 5% cut, or that we have the first 2 years 5% and a 10% cut? Where is the proper figure?
Well, if you want to know how much water to be put back over that dam, it's all passed, but if you ask, it was $150 billion when fully in effect, and I'd say it was about the last $50 billion of it was too much. It's taken too big a chance in a period in which we're trying to pull inflation down.
Well, how does that translate?
It was a fairly sizable cut we should have had anyway. It was just about $50 billion, maybe $62 billion.
Does that translate into we should have a 5% cut and a 10% cut and then stop, for example, or do you have some numbers in there?
Something like that. That would have been about right. I don't know whether it's exactly the 15 you're talking about, or 17 or 14. Maybe the business tax cut could have been held a little bit smaller, but in particular some of the loopholes. The oil tax giveaway should not have been made.
Well, are you saying, since those have already been done, are you saying that Congress may find it has to stop the third year's tax cut?
Well, if you're asking me for a political prediction, I don't think that's likely.
I'm asking you for an economic prediction. Whether to save the economy, that's what should be done.
I think realistically the thing to be worked on probably, I mean, that would be fine with me, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think realistically what you now have to work on is a combination of looking further at the budget, but in particular the defense budget, and looking through the tax code to try to get some additional revenues, probably not by trying to undo this tax bill. I think that's too late, but by picking up some revenues, by closing loopholes. There are some places you might be able to do it that would even help with inflation.
The other side of the coin, of course, is spending cuts. Now, are you saying that spending cuts, more than $35 billion in the fiscal 82 budget, have not been too deep? In other words, that they are not, to this point, really hurting people socially? And since more cuts would have to be made in order to balance the budget,
mm-hmm.
where should those cuts come from in addition to the defense cuts you've mentioned?
Right. First, I would say a large part, but not all, of the $35 billion probably was warranted. I mean, I think it was time to take a good, hard look at the budget and get some of the barnacles off. Now, that doesn't mean I would agree with every jot and tittle of those cuts, and maybe 10 or 15% of the ones that were made, maybe I could suggest others, but fundamentally, yes, I don't have any complaint about having cut the budget substantially. Secondly, I think the first priority has got to be with that defense budget. I find it difficult, although Mr. Stockman's a very imaginative person, I find it difficult to know exactly where I would go to cut out of the non-defense budget by major amounts. You've got $35 billion from the Congress, which would amount to $50 billion by 1984, but to get another 70 out of the non-defense budget, I don't know where you'd get it. I don't think you could without harming the economy. Therefore, it would have to be mainly defense. Possibly you could do something on a better index for the Social Security program that might also help.
And yet the administration is talking about increases in defense spending. Are you saying that this is wool gathering, the notion that they can make 7% annual increases in defense spending and at the same time make continue to keep the deficit under control?
That's right. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe we need a number of areas to strengthen our defenses, and that means more spending. You can't do it you can't do it free. But 7% over and above inflation, kind of guaranteed each year, it seems to me, is too much. It's clearly too much economically in the sense that I don't know where you're going to get the offsetting savings.
Well, you know what the administration's argument is, or the supply-side economists in the administration, that the tax cut is going to stimulate business to such an extent that the revenues are going to rise beyond what you are apparently thinking of.
Yes, and I think that there's nothing wrong with supply-side economics except for the fact that its consequences or results have been exaggerated by a factor of 10. Those tax cuts on business investment, on business profits, and some of the other tax cuts will probably help stimulate investment and productivity, but nowhere near enough to provide the kind of major economic upsurge which will gin up all the revenues that the administration...
When you strip it of all the fancy language, isn't this economic policy at the moment just old-fashioned stimulation by deficit spending?
Well, let's put it this way. Not in the minds of those who invented it, but in my judgment, it will have mainly, not wholly, but mainly that effect.
What's the difference?
Between...
Well, you say not wholly.
Well, no, I think there will be some additional supply, greater productivity, higher investment forthcoming from those actions. The question is how much, and I'm saying it isn't just a minor difference, there's a major difference. It will help, but it will not be enough to give us 4.5-5% growth and at the same time pull inflation down.
Does this collide, though, or threaten to collide with the other part of the president's program, and that is tight curbs on the growth of the money supply? In other words, if you have an expanding economy, that implies greater demand for money. If the Federal Reserve, with the support of the White House, keeps on with its present policy, you have less capital available. Is that a dangerous collision shaping up?
Let's put the word difficult instead of dangerous. Dangerous makes it sound like a catastrophe. I don't think it's a catastrophe. I do think that holding down the growth in the money supply, which the Federal Reserve is doing and is committed to do, while at the same time the budget deficit threatens, nobody knows yet because it hasn't happened, but threatens over the next 2 to 3 years to grow fairly substantially, is one that is going to give difficult times, particularly on interest rates.
What about the social costs of all that we've been talking about? You're speaking about the continuation of high interest rates. We know that that is socially expensive to the housing industry, to the automobile industry, and to small businessmen. And on the other hand, if there are to be further budget cuts, they've got to go into some areas such as, at least marginally, Social Security. The social costs, are we simply in an era when the U.S. economy, in order to be run well, demands that people have a lower expectation of what they can get out of life?
Some of that, yes. Let me say it another way. We have talked, I have talked, about what might be done to improve the performance of the economy by way of tighter budgets, somewhat easier monetary policy combined. But I have to, at the same time, say this isn't going to revolutionize anything. You are not going to pull inflation down. You're not going to have the discipline on the economy to pull inflation down with easy money. Interest rates, even with what I would consider a better mix between budgetary and monetary policy, are still going to stay high. It's still going to be necessary to have a tight budget. As I've emphasized, taking more cuts out of defense, nevertheless, it's still going to be a tight budget. So, yes.
Mr. Schultz, you're a former budget director and a former Council of Economic Advisors chairman in Democratic administration, so the numbers game is nothing new to you. I'd like to ask you for a series of predictions about some of the key indexes we use for measuring the economy and what they will be in a year from now under the Reagan administration. Where do you think the consumer price index will be?
Well, can I do it kind of over the course of the next couple of years, averaging it? I'm no longer in the business of watching the economy month by month and trying to get every little tick, but I think I can answer the spirit of your question.
Why don't we take the usual figure for 1982, which is usually comes out as sort of December over December, right? What the change is in a year.
No, and I would say that inflation will be in the high single digits, measured, say, by the measured by the consumer price index, apart from some of the flukes in it, you know, you're going to be running probably 8%, 8.5%, somewhere in that range.
And interest rates?
Inflation. Interest rates, I think, without giving a number, are going to be a little lower than they are now, but still, by any historical experience, quite high.
Double digit,
yes. I mean, they're now running, depending on what kind of loan you try to make for how long, you know, they're running anywhere from 16 to 20%. They're going to stay double digit, but maybe a little bit below that. I wouldn't expect them to be that high. The main news is they'll be high.
The unemployment rate?
The unemployment rate, I'm not so sure about. I would suspect, however, that we have an economy which will not have a recession, but which will grow very slowly. And so the danger of unemployment creeping up is probably greater than the likelihood that it will creep down, but I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see unemployment somewhere in the range it is now.
One other number. You sort of disassociated yourself, Mr. Schultz, from those who say, in your words, that the budget deficit is going to be higher. What do you think? Where do you think the budget deficit for fiscal 1982 will end up? The president says still $42.5 billion.
Again, I will preface my statement with the fact that I have not delved into it that carefully, but it seems to me it's much more likely to be $60 billion neighborhood than 45. And secondly, with a little bad luck, in particular if interest rates don't fall at all, it may be even higher than that. So you'd be looking at something above 60 with average to a little bit of bad luck.
When President Carter came into office, he was insistent that that budget deficit must be wiped out, partially because he said that people perceive that budget deficits are equated with inflation. Now, that was not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're running into the same thing with President Reagan also determined to eliminate the budget deficit. First, does a budget deficit by itself really add to inflationary pressures?
Sometimes. That's the first point. That is, in, say, in the depths of a recession, when people are out of work, a lot of idle capacity, a budget deficit, the general proposition should not. Secondly, in an economy of $4 trillion, which is what we'll have when that tax cut's fully in effect, moderate swings in the budget deficit, you know, if the budget deficit swings 10, even 15, $20 billion are not going to make all that much difference to the economy. But a large budget deficit in an economy that's growing, in an economy where you're trying to pull inflation down, in an economy which isn't in the middle of a recession, that does have some upward pressures on inflation. It pumps all that purchasing power in. But perhaps even more importantly, given the Federal Reserve there with necessarily tight money, you have a collision, and so you get perpetual high interest rates, which doesn't help very much with investment. It discourages investment.
Then are the American people likely to blame President Reagan politically if he does not achieve his often stated goal, a balanced budget by 1984? In other words, does this have a dimension beyond the economics?
Well, as a political forecaster, I'm not sure how good I am. You might say that somebody might say the same about as an economic forecaster, but in any event, it seems to me that if the economy is doing well, if inflation is coming down and economic growth is proceeding rather well, people are going to forget about the deficit. Conversely, if inflation hasn't come down very much, and if the economy is limping along with unemployment still where it is now after 2-3 years, then I think, paradoxically, the deficit takes on a bigger meaning because it's just another sign that things haven't worked out the way it was promised. So maybe yes and maybe no.
I'd like to follow up with another political question. You've been a longtime advisor to the Democratic Party on economic questions. One Democratic member of Congress the other day said that the Democratic Congressional Corps had behaved like a group of trained SEALs in dealing with the Reagan tax cut and budget cut proposals. And many Democrats up on the Hill feel that the party just doesn't have any identity anymore in economic questions. That they used to know what they stood for, and they don't anymore. What, as a Democrat, are you advising Democratic elected officials to do in the economic area to get the party at least on the road toward a comeback?
Well, I guess I would stress the same thing I've stressed through a large part of this program, that the immediate issue is one in which we change the mixture of our economic policy to a tighter budget, a smaller deficit on the one hand, and simultaneously we can then afford to ease up somewhat, although not an awful lot, on monetary policy. That's the first proposition. This, in turn, has something to do with respect to policy on defense spending and something to do with policy on looking at tax loopholes and other ways to raise expenditure, raise revenues.
But those are narrow policy questions.
Yeah.
From a philosophical standpoint, what do Democrats stand for today on the economy, or what should they stand for?
Well, I think what Democrats, among other things, have to stand for is combining a recognition that the world, for a lot of different reasons, is a more difficult place than it was 15 years ago in terms of what we can afford to do, and at the same time to do that with our eye always on the impact of doing difficult things on the poor, on the disadvantaged, on those who can least afford it, i.e., we cannot be big spenders. At the same time, what we can do is to be very, very careful to allocate that pain.
But you introduced of your own accord into the conversation one thing affecting the elderly, and that was changing the consumer price index in Social Security.
That's right.
How do you propose to change it, and will it not hurt the elderly?
Hurt in the relative sense, that's right, but not in any absolute sense, it seems to me. One thing I think we might do is to change, and there have been some proposals in the Congress for this, the indexing of Social Security so that it grows with wages or prices, whichever grows least. What we had over the last 4 or 5 years was that wage earners had increases that were a lot less than inflation, whereas Social Security recipients got increases that were not only up with inflation, but because of the way the consumer price index works, they even did better than inflation. And all I'm suggesting is that you can change that balance modestly. I do not consider that asking for massive sacrifices.
Some of the people attaching themselves to President Reagan's policies suggest that the real way to keep the growth of money down is to tie it to gold.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to have a budget deficit and finance all these things if money is attached to gold, which doesn't grow?
Well, I find it hard, I guess maybe I should, to take that seriously. I don't think that the monetary affairs of the major nations of the world can afford to be tied to the production of gold, principally in South Africa and to some extent in the Soviet Union. It seems to me, as you think through that proposal, it is an attempt to say, we don't trust any human being anytime, anywhere to handle money right, therefore we're going to tie ourselves blindly to that metal called gold. It didn't work in the past, and I don't think it would work in the future. I don't really think it's going to happen.
What about indexation of the tax brackets to inflation beginning in 1985? This may help taxpayers. What will it do to the economy?
Well, what it's really going to mean is that we have thrown away one method by which automatically we can restrain inflation, namely the automatic upcreep in taxes when we get into an inflation. And I think we throw away some options. It's a tough call, but I think basically it was not a good choice.
At that point, thank you very much, Charles Schulz, for being our guest today on Face the Nation. And we'll have a word about next week's guest in a moment.
Today on Face the Nation, Charles Schulz, chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers during President Carter's administration, was interviewed by CBS News correspondent Eric Engberg, by Harry Ellis, senior economics correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and by the moderator, CBS News correspondent George Herman. Next week, Lane Kirkland, president of the AFL-CIO, will face the nation. This broadcast was recorded earlier today in Washington and was edited to conform to time requirements. It was produced by Joan Barone and directed by Robert Vitarelli. Jim McGlinchey is the associate producer. Face the Nation is a production of CBS News. This is the CBS Radio Network.